Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution at Work Hardcore 2.0 episode 181 is coming your way. Today we're going to talk about maintenance dosing versus blast and cruise by Paraforma. And look, in this one, we see a lot of guys. I read a lot of stuff on the internet, and it's not just our forums or our family of forums, but it's all over the place. And people just don't understand what maintenance dosing is, what the risks are, how to do it. They don't understand what blast and cruise is, what the risks are, how to do it. So this one, we're going to try to kind of clear it up a little bit, and hopefully you can get a lot out of this episode. We're going to talk about what is blast and cruise exactly, what does maintenance dosing even mean. We're talking about how to blast and cruise if you do go that direction with Paraforma products. And we're going to talk about how to do a maintenance dose on Paraforma products as well. So we're going to go over some of their different options. But first, let me remind everyone, we are on Apple, we're on Spotify. We get this podcast out a lot. We've been having a lot of views on this podcast. But we want to grow the podcast more. We want to reach more ears on this podcast so we can help as many people as we can. The problem is the algorithms hate our podcast because of the stuff we talk about. So obviously, platforms don't like this type of things that we talk about. We talk a lot about underground things. And we talk about hardcore things that other bodybuilding podcasts are too chicken shit to talk about. So we do things that they don't do. With that comes a responsibility as a viewer to go ahead and smash the like button, follow us, subscribe, tell your friends and family, leave us reviews, all that good stuff, comment. And that helps drive the algorithms to us because it's hard for us to get the algorithms and helps us grow the channel so we can keep this going. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep it going. So let's get right into it. What is blast and cruise? So I'll talk about it really quick and I'll let a monster pretty quick on this one. But look, blast and cruise, I can remember when I first started going on bodybuilding forums, a lot of people didn't do blast and cruise. Then it started to get really popular as people started to talk about it and people just started giving up on running PCTs. So what they would start doing is just staying on year round. They're like, I'm sick of coming, you know, using steroids, then coming off and using steroids and coming off the roller coaster. My libido crashes. I lose gains. I lose strength. I just want to stay on year round. So blast and cruise can refer to simply, you know, most of the time, I think, is you're basically blasting means you're running a high amount of exogenous hormones, and then cruising would revert back to a baseline amount of hormones in the body. And then you would kind of go and cruise for a certain amount of weeks, then you would blast for a certain amount of weeks, then you go back to your cruising dose for a certain amount of weeks, then you blast for a certain amount of weeks. And this is something you cycle throughout the year. So you're never actually coming off these exogenous hormones, so they're always in your system. And a lot of people have started doing this. Professional bodybuilders, I mean, they'll cruise on an insane amount of steroids year-round, 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams or more, and then they'll blast 2, 3, 4, 5 grams of gear or more, you know? So that's kind of my definition of what blast and cruise is. Mobster, what are your thoughts?
I tell you what it is sometimes, Steve, and I completely get it in terms of the, if you're using relatively high dosages and then you come off, the difference between how you feel, your hormonal boost can make some people feel absolutely like sort of young again or Superman. And the idea that you don't get to feel like that, your libido goes back to quote unquote normal levels is a massive head fuck. And I mean, there's literally the argument about the quote, the phrase hormonal roaster coaster applying. The issue for me sometimes, and the reason why I'm not a fan of either blasting and cruising or for that matter, as it's sometimes use the phrase maintenance dosing is because it's both of those suggest that there's some sort of incredible difficulty holding on to decent amounts of muscle tissue. And as you and I have discussed on previous shows, I've said that for me, this idea that somehow you're, and I've seen this phrase used, I'm going to lose all my gains, just isn't true. And it's not true for two reasons. Number one, no one keeps all their gains. If you put on an absolutely amazing 10 pounds on cycle, I would not expect you to keep all 10 pounds, whether you're maintenance group, cruising, whatever. It's just unlikely. And it mostly comes down to stimulus. So let's take, for example, the 10 pounds, Steve. I would expect to try to retain at least half, if not slightly more than half. And I've quite often said 5-6 pounds of a 10 pound gain would be fantastic. We know it is. If you gain 5 or 6 pounds, 3 or 4 pounds retained would be fantastic. That's just reality. And it can be, again, a little bit of a head fuck to deal with the fact that you're going to lose 2 or 3 pounds of your 6 or 7 pounds gained or whatever. But for me, most of the reason why the gains are lost is come down to reverting to the similar calorific and protein and macro intake that you had before and expecting your body to hold on to the new tissue. You need to adjust, even if it's only a little bit. And secondly, even if you have to ease back on some of the loads that you've been using in the gym, some of the volume you've been doing in the gym, you still need to do something that's there to support the new tissue over and above what you had before. And in simple terms, if you went from 200 pounds to 210 pounds on your bench press, just as an example, went, I don't know, from 180 pounds to 200 pounds, I would try as best I possibly can when I came off cycle or in between cycles, and I'm even allowing for TRT, I would try to be benching 185, 190, because I know that I'm not going to bench 200 pounds because I'm not on cycle. But equally, I cannot expect my body to hold on to the ability to bench 200 pounds if I go back to benching 180 pounds. That doesn't make any sense. So it for me, it's one of those phrases where, as we're going to do on the show today, we're going to try and explain what it is as best as possible, the thinking, perhaps a misuse of the term, and I'll clarify that point as well, and realistically, the concepts as that perhaps they can be done and can be applied versus perhaps, and it's what Steve said when he said about blasting and cruising. In a pre-show, I said to Steve, I see a lot of people using health phase. I says, and I suspect what it is that we sometimes, and you and I have probably been guilty of this, Steve, we pick up on phrases that we see used, we don't necessarily fully understand what they are, and then we start to use them, and this is not just in bodybuilding, this is in life, as a reflection of the language that's being used around us, and it makes us sound like we know what other people are talking about. When it comes to using steroids, using drugs, the science of training, the science of nutrition, it can be very, very easy to think we've got a handle on it, and perhaps we're confusing it. And you and I have talked about, just as an example of this, the bro science approach that we sometimes get when we're talking to our buddies down the gym, and even the logic that we will sometimes use to support something that we specifically ourselves are doing. And we give this kind of advice to someone else, and it might not necessarily suit them, but it sounds like it makes sense. It sounds kind of scientific. It sounds like something that we should be doing. And just as an example to finish on the support process, et cetera, and including the whole keeping your gains and so on and so forth. I've used this analogy before. In fact, there's two analogies. One, the one specific one that applies here is that if it was a necessity over and above anything else, then you would have to question how anybody ever held onto muscle back in the day. I'm talking about, let's say, the drug use of bodybuilding from the 1960s onwards in any meaningful manner, how anybody with or without drugs ever held onto muscle, with or without steroids, anabolic steroids especially, Steve, ever held onto any muscle tissue gained from training a certain way for a part of the year to get bigger, and how they, if the thought concept had any weight, how they would arguably lose all their muscle all of the muscle that they gain in between training cycles, in between PED use. And that's obviously not the case. And I would argue again, perhaps, and this is applied less to the genetic freaks and all those people that are going to go down a really high dosage route, but to, again, the typical listener of this show, you haven't gained 25 or 30 pounds of muscle because that's unlikely. You're not going to lose 20 pounds of a 30 pounds gain if you come off cycle. And again, it's perhaps more about the concept, the thought process of losing some muscle and perhaps arguably that almost dysmorphic thing, Steve, where we kind of like, we love how we look. We like how strong we are. And that might be very, very hard to get to get sort of let go of. And just as an example, and you and I have used this as well, when we talked about people that have returned to training or whatever else, we say muscle memory is a thing. The ability to gain back muscle you've lost is very easy. So, you know, it's not, it's kind of one of those struggling to put on muscle, how hard it is to train hard in the gym, how hard it is to keep a good clean diet. And you're kind of almost relying, perhaps arguably too much, on the suggestion of using more drugs or staying on drugs longer as almost a crutch to allow yourself to do other particular things, but not perhaps accepting. You almost have to understand just how hard it can be. And I kind of get it that you don't want that, you don't want to lose stuff that you've lost. But again, no one linearly keeps the amount of muscle they gain or the strength that they gain. If I was doing that, Steve, if you were doing that, when you and I'd use you as an example, Steve, when you had your absolute best bench press before ruining your shoulder, you would, if you was keeping everything that you got, you'd still be benching 400 plus pounds. If I was able to do certain particular things that I'd done back in the day, I would still be doing those things. You know, am I at my all-time highest body weight? No. Is Steve as big as he's ever been? No, because there's an element of us going in different directions and choosing different paths. So, guys, it's something perhaps you need to get your heads around, but also, arguably, as we're going to do with this show, get into the actual concept, the necessity or lack thereof. And if it's a necessity, if, again, I want to finish on this particular point, Steve. If you choose to do these things, we're going to offer you suggestions as to how you can do these things, but we're not necessarily saying that you actually need to do them. So it's going to be the best option if it's a decision you make. It is, after all, your body. It's you going to the gym. It's you with your particular target. So we're going to try and help you in that particular regard. But at the same time, get your head around the fact that you're going to lose a little bit of strength. You can always train to be stronger again. This is part of life, going through the gym forever and ever I'm in. Same thing with regards to gaining muscle tissue and so on and so forth. So, yeah, we understand that there's a little bit of a head fuck here, but at the same time, guys, we know that some of you are going to do it. So we're going to try and help you as best we can with some suggestions using Parapharma products as to how you could do it, but also argue, is it something you need to do? Or perhaps could you think, for example, Steve, how important for young people listening to this podcast and being as big and as muscular as possible, and in 5 or 10 years down the road, as we've discussed on other shows with regards to fertility, other things become more important. So, yeah, look long term as well. Think about this as a whole concept, guys, and please come onto the forums and check out where we discuss these ideas as well.
I'll add that you're not going to improve in a linear way, and until you accept that, you're just going to drive yourself crazy. And a lot of you suffer from bigorexia. A lot of these bodybuilders who have died, we've seen, I mean, while they were alive, we could tell they had bigorexia. They just wanted to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Rich Piana, I'll use him as an example, as I do many times. He could not accept losing a millimeter off his bicep. He couldn't accept it. It would be, he'd be embarrassed. He would be, embarrassed to lose a millimeter. So he had to just keep, stay on blast and cruise year round. He could never come off, because if he came off, he'd be scared. Oh my God, I'm losing a millimeter off my bicep. I'm going to freak out. Well, it just doesn't work like that. The body can't accept that. So I'm going to go over a couple risks that you have to be aware of when you do blast and cruise. And there's two main issues that are going to occur. The first one has to do with your HPTA. And the second one has to do with the organ damage. So let me talk about the HPTA first. So when you blast and cruise for a set amount of time, whether it be 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, you're damaging your reproductive system. You're damaging your pituitary glands. You're damaging your Leydig cells. And what happens is if your pituitary glands get damaged, then they're not going to produce hormones. And if your Leydig cells get damaged, then they're not going to function. You're not going to produce sperm. You're not going to produce testosterone. You're not going to produce the hormones because it's not going to be fed anymore. So you're going to damage, your entire HPTA is going to be damaged. You end up getting a fertility test down the line. You'll have no sperm or very, very little sperm. And if you get your testosterone levels checked, you'll have the testosterone levels of an 80-year-old man. And you're going to wonder what the hell happened here. Well, what happened was you caused damage to your HPTA. That's the one constant with anabolic steroids that will occur. And it's going to be one of those situations where you will have to go on TRT the rest of your life. You're just going to have to pin yourself like a pin cushion every week for the rest of your life, okay? Because you damage your HPTA. And you can damage your HPTA at a really young age. I used to do this podcast with Coach Trevor back in the day. He started using steroids at 18 years old because he listened to the wrong person and he was blasting and cruising. And then by the time he got in his 20s, he wasn't producing testosterone anymore. He had the testosterone levels of a woman. And then he had to go on TRT for the rest of his life, starting at 21 years old. That sucks. So you want to keep that in mind. If you do choose to blast and cruise, you can damage your pituitary glands and Leydig cells permanently by doing that. Number two is the organ risks. And I'll let you and Mobster also talk about this. But your kidneys take a beating when you use anabolic steroids. Just think of a sponge. You put a sponge in a bucket of water and you pull the sponge out and you squeeze the sponge and the water comes out. Your kidneys are kind of like a sponge. And your kidneys, we need our kidneys to filter out all that crap out of our body. And if you no longer have the ability to do that, then you're going to have to go on dialysis. We see a lot of bodybuilders, once they get your age, Mobster, they got to go to dialysis because they started abusing steroids at a really young age. They started damaging their kidneys at a really young age. They did a lot of blasts and cruise. They stayed on year round. And now their kidneys don't function good enough or don't function at all. So now they need to hook themselves up to a machine for hours, two, three, four times a week, whatever. And it's expensive and it's time consuming and it sucks. And we've seen that happen. And a lot of people say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. This is not a life. I could be on vacation. Like they can't take a vacation because they have to. You know what I'm saying? It sucks. It really, really sucks to go through that. Your liver takes a beating because these steroids, even if you're taking injectables, are still going to be liver toxic to some degree, some more than others. Your heart takes a beating. You're thickening your blood. So if your arteries start getting clogged up, as they do because of all the food that we consume, and over time your arteries get more and more clogged up. So think about it. If your arteries are clogged up and your blood is thickening at the same time, then now you're opening yourself up for problems with like blood clots and other problems. So there's all kinds of things that happen. Brain damage. We know that there's brain damage from using anabolic steroids. There's prostate damage from using anabolic steroids. These are all risks. And the more you stay on, the more that accumulates. So if you're cycling steroids on and off, and you're taking lots of time off from steroids, then you'll be fine. You can do this long
Here's the
term.
thing. Here's the thing, Steve. I think it's very easy for most of our listeners to conceptualize the idea of abusing alcohol, and we know that cirrhosis of the liver, for example, is something that comes from people that drink, and they don't even have to drink a lot. So you just drink every single motherfucking day, three or four beers every day, a few shots every single day, and at some point in their life, they're going to end up with issues as regards alcohol. We know, for example, that there are side effects from over-the-counter and prescribed medication, and we conceptualize that quite easily. Most other listeners, either if they're not obese and trying to lose weight, they would still understand the idea of eating badly and being out of shape, right? And the argument against it's kind of the other way. That you and I could go and take some Advil, ibuprofen. We could go to the supermarket. We could go to the gas station. We could go to the pharmacy, and we can buy an over-the-counter medication like Advil. We can throw the whole goddamn bottle down the back of our necks, and we could make ourselves really kind of pretty goddamn uncomfortable. It might not kill us, but we'd give our stomach an absolute battering. We would not feel good. And the argument then goes, you and I could then also go out and take 10 mils for 5,000 milligrams of testosterone on a high, on 4,000 milligrams of, say, test 400, and inject the whole goddamn vial into our quads, into our arse, into our body part. And we probably wouldn't feel that bad. I think the issue here is, and I refer to the alcohol suggestion, it's one of those long-term things. We can absolutely do, we wouldn't die from injecting. It might be bloody uncomfortable, but we wouldn't die. And we probably wouldn't get fucked up injecting a whole vial of testosterone in one hit. But it's the long-term impact. It's asking your body to process something that it's not really comfortable with processing long-term. And I think what's really difficult sometimes for our younger listeners is to conceptualize your thought processes and your physicality, even what's required of you in life as a younger person versus an older person. And I say that as an older person. Steve's, I think you're around 40 years of age. I'm 60 years of age. So it's a lot easier for us to say, guys, and I've done this on shows, what you do now, and I did say this earlier, is your choice. But we know, and we have seen threads on the forum with regards to this, and I'll discuss one in a moment when we're talking about maintenance dosing. We know that you will kind of understand the future issues of fertility. You kind of understand that perhaps there might be a problem, but you almost, to put it crudely, put your head in the sand for now. And then your head will come out of the sand and you will face the reality, good or bad, of a decision made, right? So let me address, Steve, the reason why we've done this particular show. And most of our recent shows have been inspired by threads we've seen on the forum. And this particular one, thus, he's a 34-year-old male, Steve. So just coming up to that point where your testosterone is going to drop off slowly and naturally. 245 pounds body weight, doesn't say how tall he is, 15% body fat. So that's a little bit up there. His name's Rajapa, and the thread is Blast Cruise TRT Advice. Now, he's asking for advice, guys, so this is the stuff that we like. He says, week 11 of a test 500, trend 100, I'm assuming those two are weekly, with 50 milligrams VAR. I'm going to assume that is, it says 6 weeks. So I think 6 weeks will be 11 weeks, and I'm going to assume that was daily. I know when reaching a limit on how long it's generally advisable to run these compounds. He's right. We would probably say about week 12 for this, Steve. I've made great strength gains and dropped quite a bit of fat, but I feel I'm just starting to near my goals. So he's seeing some success, and I've touched upon this earlier, especially in regards to getting lean for the summer. He goes on. Let me read the question, Steve. Would it make sense to remain on a maintenance dose of testosterone? He doesn't say what he thinks that is. While I continue focusing on fat loss, if I hope to introduce some other compounds in the near future, as opposed to cycling off. So he's never done blasting and cruising, and now he's kind of suggesting that's exactly what he's going to do. He talks about maintenance dosing. What is the optimal amount of time I should be giving my body a rest from other compounds, except the maintenance dose test, before considering starting something else? We'll address these questions as we go along. While on this cycle, or on a maintenance dose of test, which indicators on blood work will tell me it's best to cycle off completely, do TRT, or introduce other compounds. We could have a bit of fun with that one, I think. And generally speaking, this is a question. This is exactly what he said. How much more destructive to the reproductive system would a blast and cruise cycle like this be than cycling off and back on a few months? I would like to maintain fertility. And then his last one here, Steve, is any other general tips or hyper-focusing on getting down body fat while maintaining gains? Where do we start with this one, Steve? I mean, you've already touched upon the potential issue of fertility as he's coming up to, I would argue, week 12, because that's probably where we would suggest a cycle would go, to then stay on maintenance dose and I'm going to suggest that's probably going to be above sports TRT, so over 400 milligrams a week. And then at the same time, he's worried about maintaining fertility. Well, quite simply, the longer you're on, the more of an impact you're going to have on your fertility. So that's an absolute given. He says indicators on blood work, which will tell me best to cycle off completely. So talking about maintenance dosing, one assumes to maintain, and we'll discuss that momentarily, versus coming off, doing TRT, or even introducing other compounds. And this is where I think there's a confusion. So let's start with a maintenance dosing. What do you think, and I know you've used this term yourself, as I said to you in a pre-show, with regards to your GLP product use, what do you think maintenance dosing is? And then I'm going to say what I think he means here versus what perhaps is a better idea.
Yeah, I think maintenance dose would be, when it comes to testosterone, for example, let's say you did a 12-week cycle, 500 milligrams a week, and then you ran maybe a couple other steroids with it, just like this guy did. And then maintenance dose would be just dropping it down to like a regular TRT dose or something above that. So let's say a TRT dose would be 100 or 125 milligrams a week. A maintenance dose to me would be something like 150 or 200. So it's very similar to blasts and cruise, but it's a lot more mild. So because on a blast and cruise, a lot of people will go even, you know, more aggressive than that. Like they'll literally cruise on 500 milligrams of test a week.
There's an argument, Steve, to interrupt, but for cruising could be more than one PED. Whereas here, I think he's suggesting just testosterone. So that might be a difference between blasting and cruising and maintenance. Maintenance will probably be just, as Steve suggests, a higher dose of testosterone, more than TRT does, because he talks about that as well, versus cruising, which might be more than one product, might be more than one drug.
Yeah, that's a good point too. So at the end of the day, it can mean a lot of things, but I think it probably means something closer to TRT than what would be in a normal blast and cruise situation. Because what happens a lot with people who blast and cruise, you know, I'll use Rich Piana as an example. Let's say Rich Piana runs 3,000 milligrams of gear a week to really grow, get stronger, and get those pumps that he liked in the gym. And then he's not going to drop it down to 100 milligrams when he cruises. He's going to drop it down to 500 milligrams or even 750 milligrams or even 1,000 milligrams when he cruises. You see what I'm saying? Because if he drops it to 100 milligrams, that's like not even being on anything to him. So I think that's probably, you know, a maintenance dose would be something a lot more mild. Like you're getting closer to, you know, that 100 milligram TRT level. So that's what I think maintenance dosing is. So, you know, you want to get into like some of the risk of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, the fertility thing, because he's talking about blood tests as well and what to look out for in a blood test. I think the obvious thing is, Steve, if he stays on and he waits to indicators in his blood test, then we absolutely know he's going to affect his fertility. He's not getting his sperm count done because it's kind of almost an argument to be made as to what's the point while you're on. I mean, the key phrase here is suppression. Whether it's a mild amount of suppression or horrible amount of suppression, vis-a-vis, for example, using SARMs versus anabolic steroids, it's still fucking suppression. And suppression, in simple terms, is that you are lowering or suppressing, sometimes down to zero, your ability to produce healthy, viable swimmers in your seminal fluid, i.e. the sperm that will go and fertilize an egg at some point, if that's what you want. And we have seen literally people that have gone and had their sperm counts done come back with zero or one or in the hundreds, as opposed to, I think one was a million when it should have been 100 million. And they were very, very, very lucky. It took them 12 months or something to get their fertility up. And of course, we've said on shows and on the forums, it only takes one healthy sperm. But considering it against this idea, we create Superman with the drugs, but we somehow imagine the endocrine system, our ability to reproduce sperm, is comparable to where it was pre-cycle if we come off cycle. And we follow some of the fertility protocols suggested by people like Dave Palumbo, etc. And as I said on one reply on a forum, Steve, Dave and the other people that talk about these protocols will only ever tell you about the ones times they're successful. The times when they're not successful, people don't come back on and talk about it. It fucked up. I failed. I made a mess of it. We had one person on the forum specifically say that he'd actually made his wife cry, his partner cry, a wife, I think it was, cry because of decisions that he'd made, and they're going to have to spend the next 1 to 2 years doing what the hell they could to recover. I spoke to the local IFBB pro and talked to his wife in the gym the other day about the whole in vitro fertilization, and he was very lucky that he'd actually had his sperm frozen pre-competing at the Mr. Olympia and so on and so forth. So he knew the effects, and even the old IVF thing and how difficult it is. And I suspect it's kind of, I would want to be careful using, if I was a member of the forums, I'd want to be careful using phrase like maintenance dosing without being clear what that actually is. Because blasting, cruising, TRT and so on, we've even done a whole show where we said the different kinds of TRT and the difference between medically prescribed by a clinical or endocrine, endocrinologist, a hospital, etc., versus what I run for TRT, versus what other people would run for TRT, versus sports TRT, versus what arguably a maintenance dose, and so on and so forth, was so wide of a variation that you need to be clear what you mean when you say the phrase maintenance dosing. So we try to clarify for it listening to the show, but you need to be clear if you decide that this is something what you're going to do, just how much that is, and you need to be 100% clear just precisely the effects on your body. Steve's talked about the physical stress on your organs, up to and including your brain, of staying on. I've talked about the comparison with alcohol, the comparison with recreational drugs, the comparison with prescribed and over-the-counter medications, and how it's easier for us to think of those things as damaging, but not steroids, and how we might bounce back. To take it to the extreme, Steve, it'd be kind of like doing heroin, getting absolutely completely mashed off your tits. You've won the lottery, you can do what you like. And being okay with the idea of being high as fuck for 6 months, but hoping that at the end of the 6 months that you won't be a long-time drug addict and the heroin won't sort of ruin your life forever, ever, amen. And people would turn around and say, don't be fucking stupid, mobster. We go, okay, you're okay with the concepts of the addictive medications, but and the damage to your body, but you're the non-addictive vis-a-vis, for the most part, steroids, and still having some impact. So yeah, be clear on what you mean, guys, if you decide to maintain. So we're going to probably suggest, and I think I kind of agree with Steve, if we get into the maintenance stuff, it's going to probably be higher than perhaps what you would normally run, even the low end of what TRT is. Medically prescribed 90 to 120 milligrams a week, or the equivalent thereof. I run 200 milligrams. I wouldn't see, I think, in my mind, an additional benefit of pushing to 300. And again, the long-term effects of me using even 200 arguably, but certainly 300 milligrams a week, is going to be over and above any benefit I get for running testosterone therapy, and probably push me towards arguable potential health issues. So for me, maintenance dosing, Steve, is going to be, like you said, somewhere between 200 and sports TRT, 400 milligrams. How long are you maintaining for? This guy is looking at a 12-week cycle, ultimately. Is it 20 weeks? Is it 30 weeks? The longer you're on, at the higher dose, the greater the risk. You must understand this. And then once you understand it, you can make the choices that you're going to make. So do we want to talk about this anymore, Steve? Perhaps, for example, markers that you can look out for, or do we want to talk
about... Yeah, let me talk about the markers. Very, very important to track your blood work if you're going to do this. And we're going to talk about, on the next couple segments, some parapharma ideas. And at the end of the day, you got to get the blood work done. And you got to be on top of it. Don't think, well, I've been doing this for 6 months. I've been doing this for a year. Everything looks good. I'm just going to keep doing it and nothing bad can happen. So it's very important to get your blood work done. It's very important to get your blood pressure checked accurately multiple times a day. That gives you a better idea of your blood pressure than just doing one reading a day, because your blood pressure does fluctuate throughout the day, obviously. If you have a high-stress job, it's going to fluctuate while you're working. So it's good to just get your blood pressure taken in the morning, You go to the bathroom, you're relaxed. As soon as you wake up, before you eat your first meal, and then get your blood pressure taken, then this way you have a more accurate number that way. So if you start noticing your blood pressure is looking strong, look, that's an indicator that you really need to adjust your maintenance dose. So if you're doing 400, 300, what are you doing? Blast and cruise. If you're cruising, you may want to back off a little bit. So you got to be flexible if you're going to do this to stay healthy. The heart health is the big thing, because that's the number one killer in North America, Mobster, is heart health. And that's something that most people have an issue with, especially, we're seeing, especially as you get older, but we're seeing more younger and younger people having heart issues. And it's something that's very, very plausible that you can end up hurting yourself and damaging your heart permanently. So I think it's very important to make sure that you're getting the blood work done as often as possible, and you're getting your lipids checked. You check on your cholesterol and all that stuff. A lot of people who do the Blast and Cruise thing on our forum, they also are using blood pressure medications, and they're using other medications to help with their blood pressure and cholesterol and all that stuff. And a lot of guys also are doing, I wouldn't say a lot of guys, I say almost everybody is running their support supplements on cycle. So you can come on the forum and
I mean,
find out.
just for myself, Steve, as a daily aspirin and a daily half Cialis in there, and my blood pressure's always been pretty good. But again, I want nice thin blood. I don't want blood pressure issues. And Steve's absolutely correct in regards to organ protection type products as well. That would be an absolute must. It's the longer you run, the more essential that would be, Steve.
All right, so we can let's dip our toes a little bit. Let's start with Blast and Cruise. How to blast and cruise on Parapharma products. So let's give you some ideas. So first of all, if you're going to blast and cruise, 95 or 99% of the time, testosterone is going to be an essential part of that, because testosterone is a good way to make sure that you're cruising. And you're getting those androgens, you're getting that estrogen effect where it's getting into your body, leaving your body at the same time. So a lot of you are going to target testosterone. Testosterone cypionate, testosterone enanthate, they're the top two sellers, the top two most popular steroid options overall. And they're definitely the most popular when it comes to blasting and cruising. So you want a good testosterone, Parapharma has it. So I would suggest, if you're going to do blast and cruise, to go with the testosterone cypionate. Why? Now, why testosterone cyp over testosterone E? Everyone's going to say, "Oh, Steve, they're the same thing. They're the same thing." Testosterone cyp has a longer half-life by about 2 or 3 days. And so that would mean that you only have to pin it once a week, once every 10 days. Some people pin it every once every 2 weeks. And you'll be perfectly fine doing it that way, because it has a long ester. So you can cruise, for months before you start your blast, and just cruise on some of that Parapharma testosterone. And look, at the end of the day, how much should I cruise with? It can range from anywhere from 100 to 200 milligrams. Some people go 300 milligrams. Some people go higher, 500 up to 1,000 milligrams. I don't know, Mobster, what is the most cruising dose that you've seen from some of the craziest dudes over the years that have been? Has it been more than a thousand? Because,
I have seen 1,000 mentioned as one or two people's
yeah.
cruises. I would agree with Steve. I'll use myself as an example. I'll pretend to be a guinea pig here. If I run as I do, and I'm looking at Parapharma's Testo 250, Testo Cypionate 250 here, Steve. If I run TRT dose, which is what I do, of testosterone cypionate, 200 milligrams a week, that's my TRT. Let's decide that I'm going to put myself in the guinea pig shoes and I'm going to blast and cruise. What would I do? Well, then I would argue that my blast would be 600 or 700 milligrams, and it's probably going to be a stack, whether that's Sustanon, Deca, whether that's orals in the form of Anavar, and so on and so forth. Again, all of these available from Parapharma. If I cruised, it's going to be higher than my TRT dose. My TRT dose, remember, is 200 milligrams. So I think I'm going to cruise this, Steve, somewhere between 300 and 400 milligrams. And again, I'm going to push my health markers. I'm going to push my lipids and push my cholesterol. But again, I'm TRT at this point. TRT for my point, 60 years of age, 200 milligrams is for life. So I'm only going to back off down that thing. Blasting and cruising to me is something almost of a younger man thing. So again, I would agree with Steve. They've even got a testosterone in Amphate 400 milligrams, but I would probably run that at 200 milligrams as a TRT thing. So it's a dosage thing more than anything else. But yeah, I've seen cruises, as Steve said, pegged at 1,000 milligrams. The great and vast majority of people are somewhere between 400 and 500 milligrams, Steve. But for me, the upper limit, I think, for me, cruising would have to be 400 milligrams. In my mind, it's above a TRD dose. It's definitely the higher end. It's beginning to get into sports TRT. And it's single product. There would be nothing else on the table. Would it just be the CPNA? What I would run on the blast, and I'll bring Steve back in for this, is something else. So you're still on you're still on the 300, 400 milligrams of testosterone supernatal state. What are you going to blast with?
So there's a couple different ways you can blast. You can either keep your testosterone dose at your cruising dose, which is what a lot of people like to do, and then you could start adding more steroids. Or you can add more steroids and increase your testosterone dose. It just depends on the individual. Some people like higher testosterone and some people don't. You can come on the forum and look at the logs. I saw a guy the other day. He's running, I think, 1,200 milligrams of testosterone right now during his blast. And, you know, that is a lot. I mean, for me, 750 is the most I've ever run a week as part of a cycle. And I didn't notice any difference between 750 and 500, except more side effects. So for me, it didn't make any sense. But for him, he really likes it. Some people react well to it. So that would be a decision for you to kind of experiment with. But if you do that, make sure you pick up Parapharma aromatized inhibitors. And they have Arimidex and they have Aromacin, which are really, really good options. So
I think the key thing to look here for, Steve, and quite often when blasting and cruising is discussed, normally what happens is a person comes onto the forums or anywhere, Steve, and says, this is what I would like to do. I want to get cut. I want to get more muscular. I want to get stronger. So the key thing to look at for when we're talking about stuff, cycles, is what are you blasting for? It isn't, I would agree with Steve. If I got on very well with testosterone in Amphate and I was running that as my TRT, then the idea of going to 600, 700, 800, or even 1,000 milligrams and getting the same great response but magnified by two or three times would be fantastic. But it would depend on what I'm blasting for. Am I upping the dose by the blast with a specific aim in mind? And in my case, Steve just suggested, it would be a bulk. Can I get as big as I possibly can? I've discussed on multiple shows my favorite bulk. So let's keep that testosterone supernate in my example at the 200 milligrams that I like. I've discussed the idea of taking it up to 400 milligrams, Steve, here for a cruise. So I would probably actually drop it down a little bit, but I would introduce my favorite bulkers, which would be Parapharma Sustanon and Parapharma Deca, because I know that my body responds, or used to respond, incredibly well to those two particular products. So, I mean, because of the half-life of CPN8, it's almost pointless. I'd have to almost go with that for some weeks, Steve, to clear out the CPNA in order to introduce the Sustanon and Deca. And then, of course, some of the esters are Sustanon quite long, so it's kind of reducing down, keeping it there at a level that I can drop back to when I come off cycle, and having the Sustanon and Deca in there. For me, Steve, 8 to 12 weeks. 12 weeks, I think I'd done one cycle back in the day that I wasn't very happy about, 16 weeks. 12 weeks is a sweet spot for most people. 8 to 12 weeks is about where I want to be. And I was doing it around competitions. What about, Steve, if we were cruising and you can pick a dose, but you decided you wanted to cut? How would you change your cruise?
So how would you do
All right. So again, I have experimented with higher dosages, but for me, grand total of under now at this point in my life, 1,000 milligrams, my best results raw whales between 700 and 800 milligrams total. And I believe I run the Susanon ever so slightly higher, which works for me in terms of ratios than a Deca. So you're looking, for example, let's say it was 800 milligrams, Steve. I think you'd be looking at 450 milligrams of Sus and 350 milligrams of Deca, or there or thereabouts for me. But again, you come onto the forums and ask us what works for you, where what your experience is, and so on and so forth, and then we can come up with suggestion doses for your particular target. So yeah, what about cutting, using the cruise dose and then going into a cut, Steve?
Yeah, so for recomposition, or if you want to do a blast cutter, and I would, if you have low body fat, I would be all over Winstrol and I'd be all over Masteron, because they're both really, really good if you're already lean. So Masteron would be a great option for hardening, and then Winstrol would be a great option for drying out and really looking ripped in the vascularity. I mean, we see people on Winstrol, they get so ripped and vascular that they have veins popping out of their abs. And that's, when you get veins popping out of your abs, you know you're super lean. That's a situation where you're super lean. So Parapharma has you covered because they have so many different options. They have the Masteron Probe. They have the Masteron Enanthate. I would obviously go with the Enanthate. You're blasting and cruising anyway. You might as well go with long esters. This saves you from having to inject often, right? And then the Winstrol, they have the tabs and they have the injectable as well. And you can drink it as well. So they have the different options on both. So this depends on what you're comfortable doing. And that would be a really good option. Now, another injectable for those of you who want to do something a little more mild for a blast, even though it's a blast, is Primo. We've seen a lot of guys in Australia who really love blasting lots of Primo, and their logic for doing really, really high amounts of Primo. I've seen guys go over 1,000 on the Primo a week. And their logic is, well, I can run that much of Primo. It gives me the results I'm looking for, but it also keeps my side effects low. So that would be a great strategy for those of you who want to do a more safe blast and cruise. Go with something like Primo that doesn't have a lot of side effects.
I'll use as an example, just to clarify the more extreme examples. We've discussed a former WABA professional, Monstro, aka Marco Louis, and talking about high dosaging, and even I believe what he was calling the TRT dose was circa 1,000 milligrams. So that was one of the places we probably saw that number bounded about. And we will point out, obviously, that Marco passed away at 40 odd 1 years of age, I believe, Steve. So keep that in mind. He was a great professional and an amazing physique from day one, from teenager, almost right up to the end. But His blast, which would be competition cycles or occasionally for exhibition work, where he did incredibly well and was a true professional, it has to be said, when it comes to exhibition work, was in the area of 6,000 milligrams plus growth hormone, plus peptides, plus insulin, and plus a bunch of other things. So and something else as well, Steve. It occurred to me when we were talking about blasting and cruising earlier on. Steve knows that I'm a fan of the history of bodybuilding, physical culture, call it what you will, which covers everything, weightlifting and so on, and also access to the internet. And something that happened when blasting and cruising kind of came along, and people started to stay on longer and started to stay on higher dosages, was that we started to see and continue to see the stories that came out. When I first came into the sport, Steve, the suggestions specifically with orals, which we haven't really discussed, but we'll get into that in a second, was that liver damage, kidney damage was a thing, but it was kind of rare. It might even be reported in the newspapers. The idea that bodybuilder dies, kidney damage is in the newspapers now as a headline is silly. It wouldn't happen. But we do see it on the bodybuilding news, and we started to see a lot more women as well as men that were using excessive dosages, much more easily reported, way more available to just normal people to go into the gym via social media, via YouTube, etc., and seeing news type channels reporting on, I think 1 year was quoted on one channel that they had 40 people that had competed worldwide that had made a name for themselves. That was quote unquote famous bodybuilders. Not everybody was a top level professional, but some were. And Steve and I have actually done shows when we discussed the sheer volume of, I'm thinking of one particular show, Steve, we did on a black bodybuilder whose name escapes me, and just the steroids that were in the autopsy blood test, saying just how much of, I think, was it Winstrol or EQ, which was in the thousands of milligrams per nanograms per deciliter. And it was a stupidly high number for the amount that he was doing. So, yeah, way more chance of these things. Keep that in mind. Blasting and cruising and all maintaining on oral steroids. I would say no, no, and never, never. I wouldn't do it, Steve. What about your thoughts on using orals or blasting, cruising, or maintaining?
Yeah, it's talking about maintenance, though. So actually, one oral that I was going to suggest is Proviron. And Parapharma has really, really good Proviron. And Proviron is nice as an oral, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not as liver toxic as others. In fact, it's not 17-alpha alkylated. So it has very, very less minimal effects on your liver. But you can do a little bit of Proviron with the testosterone as a maintenance dose for a longer period of time. Maybe do 10 milligrams, 25 milligrams tops, and then that would give you a lot of benefits.
I actually run Proviron on a daily basis, Stephen, have done for similar TRT. Plus, I'm on cycle right now, so I agree 100% with Steve.
And then talk about the Cialis that Parapharm also has. How does that help you as well? What else are you taking?
Yeah, so it's worth pointing out, and I actually said this to someone just the other day, when we were talking about the GLP-1 drugs, and both with the erectile dysfunction drugs, the Cialis, Viagra, and so on and so forth, and the GLP-1 drugs, it's what they were formulated for versus what they get used for. So, ironically, the erectile dysfunction benefits of using drugs like Cialis was a side effect that they were actually looking for ways to treat blood pressure issues, specifically high blood pressure issues, Steve, with the dilation of blood vessels using these particular medications. And what the feedback that they were getting with the patients in the studies and the tests and so on and so forth, the medical staff, they were checking the blood pressure, they were doing blood tests, it seemed to be working fine. But the feedback was, it's improved my erection, doctors, last night, da, 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 da. So, of course, what ended up happening was these drugs do treat blood pressure, although there are probably arguably better options, but the sales for them, as we like to put it, dick drugs, went through the fucking roof. So Cialis, you've got two ways of using Cialis, and again, Parapharma products. One is for some people, and it works better when you are lean, hydrated, and you've got a little bit of carbs in your system. People love to take a half dose of Cialis, Steve, almost as a pre-workout. I would argue it doesn't boost your ability to train in the gym. What it does do for some people conditioned is give you a mega pump. You get the veins in your dick go to the veins in your arms, the veins in your chest, the veins in your shoulders. If you're lean and you're doing the volume and you're hydrated, you can have a fantastic fucking pump. Doesn't work for everybody, Steve. You've got to be conditioned. No good being a fat motherfucker and hoping for the best. The other issue, of course, as I said already, for me, which would be the case, half a Cialis every single day as a blood pressure medication. I weigh in excess of 300 pounds. I lift heavy fucking weights. I'm an old motherfucker. So I want to have my heart working well. I do my steps every day. 10,000 yesterday, Steve. I try to, but not always, eat as clean as possible. I'm lifting stupidly heavy poundages from time to time, which could fuck me up in terms of my blood pressure, my heart, and specifically my connective tissues and my joints and so on. So therefore, I make sure on my list of supplements is a half of a dick drug in the form of Cialis to thin my blood out. And the same thing with the 75 milligrams a day of aspirin for the same reason. I have people around me that have had heart attacks that are big, strong motherfuckers. And literally, I think because they had the scare, was said to me, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. And I was already doing a couple of things, but the Cialis, arguably the Proviron. Here's the things. So regular would be the 75 milligram single tablet of aspirin every single day, the half of Cialis, which works, I believe, to be 10 milligrams every single day. And as Steve just said, I also started doing Proviron every single day, especially when I'm on cycle, Steve, because it boosts the cycle. increases your free testosterone and the benefit to your SHBG, but also because I'm on TRT, to get the most out of my TRT, to give me the anabolic edge, if you like, being a big, strong, muscular motherfucker in the gym. So those are the things, and that's without being specific on the actual cycles, etc. But just as an example, Steve, and again, you could get this from Parapharma. Right now, my cycle is just recently gone from 30 milligrams a day of oral Anavar to 50 milligrams. Literally this week, I'm on week 4 as of this Monday, and that will be 4 to 8 weeks. And 10 milligrams, I believe it is, of LGD, Steve. So that's my current cycle for the listeners as well. But yeah, nose. Not anywhere near a blast, that's for sure.
So as we transition to, you know, talking about Parapharma, one of the things you talk about, Mobster, is with Cialis and Viagra. And Viagra in America, if you go through a doctor and it's not covered by insurance, you're looking at over $100 a tablet in some situations. So if you're taking this stuff every other day,
$100, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's quite a, and people pay it. You know, these rich fucks pay it. So the nice thing about Parapharma is you can go, come to our website, come to evolution.org, check out Parapharma, and see how much their Viagra and Cialis cost. It will be a fraction of that price. Same thing with testosterone. It will be a fraction of what you're going to have to pay going through a clinic or going through a doctor. And that's the good thing about Parapharma is they provide this amazing, these amazing products where it's affordable. It's not like it used to be. And it used to be only, you know, lawyers and accountants and, you know, these white collar guys, you know, on Wall Street could afford steroids. Now we got guys on the forum with all kinds of jobs, construction jobs. We got roofers, we got electricians, we got people who, you know, are retired who can afford to use these compounds. And it's thanks to brands like Parapharma. And Parapharma has been around for 14 years providing great quality products, and they have 99.9% positive reviews out there. There's always that one Karen or Ken out there that complains, but it's very, very rare. And a lot of times their complaints, we see these complaints sometimes on the forum too. Their complaints are basically just, you know, it's a confusion. It's a misunderstanding. It's something where they don't understand what they're doing and it's their fault.
Absolutely,
it's not
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
But Parapharma is excellent. Look, the prices are great. Their shipping is fast. They're vetted. Their stuff has been tested numerous times. And there's something that they're a brand that Mobster and I both have used and we will continue to use because they're fantastic. So Mobster, talk about Parapharma, your experience with Parapharma for a couple minutes, and then we'll go to the disclaimer.
Listeners, you can come onto the forum and do a search. And if you look for Mobster logs, you'll see my main logs. I think the main one on Evolutionary runs to hundreds of pages. But I ran a specific cutting log 4 weeks using Parapharma products, using the RIP 150, I believe it's called, Steve. And if I'm wrong, it'll be there on their products. Oh, so they've even got semaglutide now as well, Steve. And will it be expanded, I'm sure, into other products? I have personal experience from, and I will tell this story again, using Parapharma's RIP product, RIP 150, Tren, testosterone, and I believe Masteron. I say that off the top of my head, Steve, 50 milligrams each per mil. With three injections per week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, might have the weekend off, and did 4 weeks and recomposition. The suggestion was that I would drop some body fat from that particular point, 327, down to 320, and I recompositioned. I put on some muscle, but my waist stayed smaller. So it absolutely worked for me. And that was a grand total, Steve, of 450 milligrams. Per week. And I don't think I was on CRT at that point. So that was all I was doing. And I had zero PIP issues, just the slightest issue with the Tren acetate in the product, which we grant out of 150 milligrams a week in terms of me doing additional cardio and being a little tiny bit miserable, the tiniest sensation of being ever so slightly more toxic. And it was the first time I'd used Tren. So that was literally my first experience in that particular regards. And the only other issue with Steve is not having any treats or cakes or sweets or anything like that. No pop, no nothing. And doing three lots of cardio a day and moaning like a bitch about it. But that had nothing to do with Parapharma. So for me, and I know for Steve, Power Pharma products are absolutely great. We definitely encourage you to come onto the forums and check it out, because the only issue I think someone was moaning about in the last couple of days, Steve, was how goddamn long it had taken to them. And yet, ironically, one of the resellers of Power Pharma products is probably up there as to be one of the fastest getting products to you I've seen. I think typically less than 5 days.
Yeah, you can't control customs.
Exactly. People moaning about the post or DHL, it's nothing to do with the company selling the product.
They're shipping it out the same time. It's just a matter of how long it does.
If it's on a little donkey coming over the mountain, you want the company to prod the donkey's ass. It can't be done. But when you get the products, you see the product's beautiful. It's well packaged. It is exactly what it says it is. We know that we can show you that tests have been done on these products. We can talk about personal positive experiences. And we can say, never mind what Mobster says, never mind what Steve Smith says, come onto the forums and see other people talking about it. And just as an example, again, Steve, I think you said, they do regular, the reseller I'm thinking of does regular monthly deals of that product. So you can absolutely, you can save, stock up. You can think about future blasting by stocking up now. Get your stash ready for the blast and so on. And I would say, listen, we don't talk about these products too lightly. We're saying that we trust them, we use them, we've had great success with them. So that's 100% reasons why we would talk about them as a great source. Let us know your thoughts on for what you think blasting and cruising is and whether or not you've done it. The same thing with maintaining. Do you think you need to maintain on steroids, or is it training and nutrition related, or as much training and nutrition as I suggest it is? Am I wrong? That's perfectly fine. Come onto the forums and discuss it. Let us know in the comments below. Is it something that perhaps we need to get our heads around? It's what people are going to do all the time, Steve. Or is it something that perhaps you need to be thinking about in terms of your health and your facility? So, yeah, let us know your thoughts on the subject, guys. We're always going to be interested. And as Steve said earlier on, thumbs up, likes, shares. Let people know about this kind of information being out there. Otherwise, how the hell do they find out? Please note, we are not doctors, and the opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. And podcasts are for informational purposes, entertainment only, the freedom of speech, and the First Amendment.